Beyond the End of the Story by Irenical. Read for you by Dana Scully, 1013. This story is rated teen and up, and no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships Shen Wei / Jiao Yunlan, Da Qing and Shen Wei, Da Qing and Jiao Yunlan, Da Qing and Shen Wei and Jiao Yunlan. It includes additional tags, buried alive, grievous bodily harm, blood and injury, major character injury, womp, hurt / comfort, rescue, hurt Shen Wei. Da Qing had more than a bit of a hand in raising Jiao Yunlan, and it shows. Angst with a happy ending. Flashbacks. PTSD. Hand-wavy post-canon and ill-advised use of the Guardian Lantern.
"教授!"
"是大人!"
"Shen Wei! Xiao Wei, you answer me right now!"
Shen Wei came awake all at once, gasping and choking on the thick cloud of dust lingering in the air. It was dark. So dark that he couldn't make out even vague shapes, much less anything that would give him a clue as to where he was. The air was close, heavy with warmth, and so much dust it hurt to inhale. Everything hurt. Shen Wei took in another gasp of air, then another. It wasn't trying to inhale the thick, clotted air that was bringing him pain. Something was wrong. Something was very wrong. Shen Wei clenched his fist at his side, shaking with the effort necessary to bring forth even a small light. But even that tiny light was almost painfully bright after the pitch darkness. That tiny light didn't illuminate much, but it was enough. Shen Wei was trapped in a stiflingly small space from which there was no way out. It was a miracle that there was an air pocket here at all. He was pinned down in a half-crouch, curled awkwardly around a number of broken cement blocks, protruding rebar, broken glass. The building collapse. It all came back in a rush. The SID had gotten a call. A Di Xingren with sound wave powers. Ultrasonic waves powerful enough to bring down entire buildings. A threat. A hostage situation. The SID had gone in. Zhao Yunlan had tried to talk the man down. He'd failed. Shen Wei had had barely a second to make a decision. To save himself or to save Zhao Yunlan. That was no decision at all. It took less energy to throw something away from you than to drag it with you, if you hit it with enough momentum. A blast of pure dark energy had pushed the SID officers and as many of the hostages as Shen Wei could reach, to and through the front glass walls. Thank goodness for modern architectural aesthetics. And that was the last thing Shen Wei clearly remembered, until waking up to Zhao Yunlan screaming his name. And now, Shen Wei brought his shaking hand close, tried to angle it to shed some light on himself instead of his claustrophobic surroundings. A quick glimpse was all it took to drain the blood from his face. He laughed. Short and breathless. That blood would go the way of the rest of his blood soon enough, if someone didn't reach him quickly. In addition to the cement blocks pinning him in place, there was... Shen Wei took a deep breath, as deep as he could manage, fighting the instinctive need to hyperventilate. There was a thick piece of rebar piercing through his body. Shen Wei couldn't tell exactly where, only that he must have been very, very lucky. If the beam had pierced anything truly vital, then Sun Wei would never have woken up, no matter how desperately Zhao Yunlin called for him. Letting the small light go and pushing the incipient panic down as far as he could, Sun Wei felt his way slowly down his body, checking for other injuries, inconsequential as they would be in the face of impalement. His right arm was bruised but serviceable, and relatively free, but it was the only part of himself that was. Sun Wei's left arm was trapped in the rubble, but he could still move his fingers, so that had to count for something. A swell of panic surged through him when he realized that he couldn't move his legs. He couldn't be paralyzed. He couldn't be. How could he protect Zhao Yunlan? How could he do his job if he couldn't? But a brief moment of flailing around with his one free hand revealed that his legs were pinned down as well. They might be fine. They might be fine. They might be... Sun Wei closed his eyes. He couldn't see regardless, but it made the dark seem less oppressive, more of a choice, and tried once more to slow his breathing. Each breath brought with it an ever sharper stab of pain, as though knowing the extent of his injuries had made them even worse.
Wei!
Shi Da Zhen!
Shen Wei! Xiao Wei, please answer me, please!
There was a scrabbling sound, and several pebbles broke loose to shower down, stinging wherever they hit.
Damn it, let me go! I have to get to him! Chief Zhao, we're all worried!
Sun Wei lost time, then. He must have, because when he next awoke, there was a breath of cooler air penetrating the closed-in space that hadn't been there before. But how was that possible? This steep underground? Beneath miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Sun Wei gasped, shaking as he fought to draw a full breath against the weight of all the rock pressing him down. Didi was below him somewhere, scared and crying, in so much pain, filled with such betrayal. What right did Sun Wei have to wish for freedom if it would mean leaving his brother behind all alone? Sun Wei closed his eyes once more, reaching out with his senses. Down, down, and down. Where was Ye Zun?
I see him. Lao Zhao, I see him. You... No! Da Qing! Come back here, you stupid cat!
Another scrabbling sound, another shower of pebbles, and then there was another presence in this space, trapped in here with him. But it wasn't his twin, his other self, his Didi. It was soft, trembling, tickling whiskers brushing against his face, the rumble of a desperate purr filling his ears. Then a soft voice.
Hei Pao Shi, Shen Jiao Shou. Shen Wei, Shen Wei, come on, please open your eyes. Don't make me go back out there and tell Lao Zhao you're dead. Don't you do that to me, do you understand me? You open your eyes right now.
Da Qing, that was...
How was Da Qing here? Why was he here? Wasn't he on the surface?
Shen Wei had seen him. Safely away from the blast zone when Kunlun had... No, that wasn't right. Da Qing had said Lao Zhao. Zhao Yunlan. This wasn't that time. This was the future. He wasn't underground. Hadn't fallen into a ravine after his long-lost brother. This was a building. A building that had collapsed.
Sun Wei had saved Zhao Yunlan. He'd saved Da Jing, Chu Shu Zhi.
Sun Wei had heard him calling too, and Xiao Guo. Shen Wei forced his eyes open. Another ticklish, trembling brush of whiskers against his face. There you are! Oh, thank every one of the gods and spirits and every single one of my ancestors on four legs and two! I will never doubt your existence again! I am a devout cat from here on out! A deep breath, another tickling brush of whiskers. You're alive! You're really alive! Okay, okay, you just sit tight. I'm going to go back out and tell Lao Zhao, and then we'll figure out a way to get you out of here. Just hang in there, okay? Shen Wei managed a shaky nod, closing his eyes once again when Da Qing leaned in close to rub his cheek against Shen Wei's. Shen Wei held on until Da Qing was well and truly out of earshot. Then, the moment he was gone, Shen Wei began to cry. Quiet, steady streams of tears. Tears of pain, tears of fear, but most of all, relief. They were a loss of moisture that Shen Wei could ill afford, but he couldn't have stopped them if he tried. Shen Wei drifted in and out after that, barely holding the consciousness amidst the waves of ever-rising pain. His head throbbed, from dehydration or a concussion, he couldn't say. Every breath was like being stabbed anew, mapping a path of bruises and broken ribs all over his torso. And there were no words to describe the sheer agony that every shift against the rebar that pierced his body brought him. Shen Wei listened for Zhao Yunlan's voice with a desperation bordering on fanaticism. Every word, every plea, every curse, every time that voice wrapped around his name, it brought Shen Wei rocketing back to consciousness. He didn't like the tone of it at all, the increasing desperation and panic, the way that voice got more and more strained as the day went on, but try as he might, Shen Wei couldn't find the breath to respond. Shen Wei had no idea how long he lay there, pinned between the rubble and the rebar, long enough that he was almost grateful when he started losing feeling. So Da Qing's return could have taken seconds, minutes, or even hours. At the brush of whiskers against his face, Shen Wei's eyes startled open. Was only then, staring into Da Qing's equally wide eyes, that he realized exactly how quiet it now was. He could no longer hear Zhao Yunlan. Shen Wei jerked instinctively in that direction, needing to know that Zhao Yunlan was all right, and then Shen Wei found his voice. Some time later, Shen Wei came back to himself, to Da Qing frantically licking the tears and dirt from his face, interspersed with desperate pleas for him to wake up and near-violent purrs. When Shen Wei finally managed to peel his eyes open, Da Qing's entire body slumped forward, pressing his forehead into Shen Wei's. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I thought I'd lost you. I thought that was it, that I'd killed you, and I was going to have to tell Lao Zhao and Shen Wei, you can't do that to me. This went on for minutes, the sounds of Da Qing's voice washing over Shen Wei like a meditation, a gentle reminder that letting go wasn't an option, that he had to hold on, not just for Zhao Yunlan, but for everyone else waiting for him, needing him. Gathering what little strength he had to speak past his now raw throat, Shen Wei finally managed to ask, Yunlan? A hiccuping sound that had more in common with a sob than a laugh was Da Jing's first answer. His next answer was to scold. It was a welcome piece of normalcy in a situation that was anything but normal. You... Of course you're asking about Lao Zhao. Because neither of you has the sense to worry about yourselves, ever, do you? A deep breath. He's fine, Sun Lei. He's absolutely fine. He just talked himself hoarse. Zhu Hong dragged him off to stuff some tea and food into him. You've been trapped under here a while. It's pretty delicate work. We don't know how many people may be trapped, so we can't just bulldoze our way through. We've reached out to An Bai to see if there are any Di Xingzhen with powers that might be helpful, but you know what things are like down there right now, and... Da Qing paused for a while, finally resumed purring around another spate of furious grooming. The rasp of that harsh tongue against oversensitive skin was a welcome distraction from the pain, soothing in spite of the roughness. And Sun Wei was almost ridiculously glad that at least this one small part of him would be clean. It should have been the farthest thing from his mind, really. It wasn't important at all, but he itched. His skin was crawling with how filthy he was. So, even if Da Qing licked his skin raw, even if it was the silliest thing he could be worried about right now, he was still grateful. Eventually, Da Qing stopped purring, his ears flat to his head as he said, "It might be a while longer before we can get you out, is all I'm saying. So you have to promise me that you're going to hang on. Because I saw what Lao Zha was like when he thought he lost you before, and I can't..." Another pause. Another hard head press. Another harsh whisper. "I can't watch him go through that again, Sun Wei. I know he's our Kunlun, but he's the kitten I raised now, too, and I can't watch him hurt like that again. I just can't. So you have to promise me that you'll make it through this." When Sun Wei didn't immediately respond, Da Qing started furiously grooming at his hairline, a low growl forming under his next two words as he spoke, "Promise me." Sun Wei was having difficulty speaking for an entirely different reason now, as a lump of tears rose hard and fast in his throat at Da Qing's heartfelt entreaties. But he finally managed to nod his head, and Da Qing seemed satisfied with that. "Good. That's good. Yes. Good. Okay." A pause. "Thank you for that. I just..." Da Qing started and stopped speaking several more times after that, but finally finished with, "I'm going to try to figure out how to get some water to you. It's probably the last thing on your mind right now, but your body is going to need water soon." Another pause. Unless you can do what you did before? Back then? Put yourself in some kind of magical hibernation?" Sun Lei had thought of that. Of course he'd thought of that. But circumstances were different now than they'd been all those years ago. He hadn't been this badly injured, for one. He'd had time to prepare himself for it as he fell the last time, for another. And he was simply too weak right now. The risk was too high, and especially after Da Qing's speech, Sun Wei was not in a rush to take that risk. He shook his head. "Damn. Double damn. I thought..." A sigh. "All right. I'll just have to figure out a way. You just..." Da Qing froze for a moment, then began to purr, soft and breathy, a soothing counterpoint between each of his next sentences. Oh, good. I hear Lao Zhao. They must be back. You just keep listening for him, okay? You stay with us, and we will get you out. That's a promise, Sun Wei. Do you hear me? From the leader of the cat tribe to the envoy, and more importantly, from me to you. We will get you out. You just have to hang on a little longer. And with one last brush of whiskers against Sun Wei's face, Da Qing was gone. Moments later, Sun Wei heard Zhao Yunlan's voice once more, quieter, gruffer, but there. He let himself fall into it and focused on keeping his promise to Da Qing. He would make it. He had to. Zhao Yunlan needed him. Da Qing's next arrival came with an even larger shower of pebbles and dust, and he landed harder than before. Sun Wei's breath caught as he was momentarily jostled, tears springing to his eyes unbidden. Shit! I'm sorry! I'm sorry, Sun Wei! This damned harness! What? When Sun Wei was finally able to stop gasping after air that was feeling thinner with each passing moment, he crafted a small light, hoping to see what Da Qing had risked both of their safety to bring to him. When his eyes adjusted, he saw Da Qing struggling to detach two objects from the aforementioned harness. One seemed to be a bottle of water with an attached drinking straw. The other was a radio? Da Qing finally got the bottle free and dragged it over to where Sun Wei could reach it. Sun Wei was reluctant to let the light go, almost afraid to plunge them back into darkness now that he could see Da Qing. But the minute the bottle was in reach, Sun Wei was immediately overwhelmed by a thirst so strong that it was almost worse than pain. How long had he been down here? Da Qing had said, a while, but what did that mean? Hours? Days? Pushing that thought aside, Sun Wei finally let the light go, then lifted the bottle to his lips. He forced himself to take small, slow sips, then to wait after each one to see how his stomach would handle it. Vomiting would be... Sun Wei winced. It would be very, very unpleasant right now. When those initial sips remained down, Sun Wei took a few more, slowly, steadily slaking his thirst as Da Qing freed the other device from his harness. Soon there was a small click, and Zhao Yunlan's voice filled the small space around them, close and intimate as though he were whispering in Sun Wei's ear, the darkness no more frightening than the darkness of their bedroom at midnight. Sun Wei's eyes closed, two large tears escaping before he could try to stop them. Zhao Yunlan's voice paused for a moment, then said, Xia Wei? Xia Wei, can you hear me? Sun Wei nodded, too overwhelmed, too exhausted, too hurt to even think of how else he could respond. Fortunately, Da Qing was there to answer for him. He can hear you, Lao Zhao. He's just... I told you it's bad, right? Quiet now. Subdued. Yes. Yes, you told me. A pause. That's okay. Sun Wei, I don't need you to talk. As long as you can hear. You're good, Lao Zhao. He's with us. He even managed to drink some water. It's going to be okay. He's going to stay with us, and so are you, and now you don't have to scream yourself hoarse just so he can hear you. So just... talk. I think it will help. The next sound to come through the radio was a clearing of a throat, then a gulping noise that was probably Zhao Yunlan drinking something, and Sun Wei couldn't stop himself from canting forward, desperate not to miss Zhao Yunlan's next actual words. Eventually, there was a soft laugh, and oh, Sun Lei had always loved Zhao Yunlan's laugh. Not the overly bright, forced one that he put on display when he was uncomfortable, but this quieter, softer one. Sun Lei loved it. He loved the way it seemed to bubble up out of Zhao Yunlan unbidden, taking them both by surprise with its first appearance, then bubbling back up again and again, until it either petered out or led to Zhao Yunlan gasping for air because he'd laughed himself clean out of it, eventually leaving him wrung out and draped across a piece of furniture, or Sun Lei, utterly exhausted, but happy. That laugh bubbled up again, and Sun Lei closed his eyes, picturing Zhao Yunlan leaning close into his space in their bed and whispering so softly, "Do you know what I was thinking about, Xia Wei?" Sun Lei wanted to respond, wanted to feed Zhao Yunlan the straight line he was clearly fishing for, but he just couldn't. He didn't have the strength. He didn't have the breath. But maybe, just maybe, if Sun Lei thought his responses hard enough, he could imagine Zhao Yunlan hearing them, could imagine this being a real conversation, could imagine that Zhao Yunlan could hear them too. It was a nice dream, anyway. "No. What were you thinking about, Yunlan?"
"I was thinking about the first time I met you."
"The first time you met me, or the first time I met you?"
"Not the first time you met me, of course. I didn't even know about that until much later. But we're not talking about that now."
"No, of course not."
"We're talking about the first time I met you. At Dragon City University, barely 20 feet from a crime scene. Do you remember?"
"Of course I remember. I'd waited 10,000 years to see your face again. How could I possibly forget?"
"The way you looked up at me, Xia Wei, like you were stunned speechless, in awe, like I was a god descended from the heavens?"
"Yes.
You'd have fallen down at my feet and worshipped if I'd asked of you, wouldn't you?"
"I..."
"No, no, don't answer that."
Sun Lei leaned forward. He couldn't help himself. Even though the rebar caught and pulled and sent waves of pain spiraling through him, he needed to be closer. He needed to touch. He needed...
"I know you would have."
"Yes." "But that first time, the way you looked at me, Xia Wei, I wanted to marry you on the spot, and I was not the marrying kind." A rumbling purr and Da Jing's harsh tongue swiping across Sun Lei's cheeks and at the corners of his eyes let Sun Lei know that he was crying again. He didn't even know why. He just knew he couldn't stop. Forget the pain, forget the fear, forget the gnawing hunger and thirst. He wanted Zhao Yunlan. Nothing else mattered. He needed. Then, sharp now, jarring. "What was that? Da Ting, was that you?" Sun Lei tried again.
"Yunlan."
A harsh exhalation of breath now, like it had been punched out of him.
"Xia Wei, is that you?"
Sun Lei turned, took another small sip of water and a fortifying breath to steady his voice, then gathered what strength he had and said,
"I would have married you then."
you'd asked and meant it. Another burst of laughter, the good laugh, startled out of Zhao Yunlan, and his voice turned coy. Xinwei, Xinwei. It's a good thing, then, that even I'm not so brazen as to propose on a first meeting. Just think of the fun courtship we'd have missed out on. And for the first time since making that fateful decision, Xinwei smiled. It was going to be okay. It was. He had faith in Zhao Yunlan. He always had. And he always would. Xinwei drifted in and out again for a while, coming to only when the rhythm of Zhao Yunlan's voice changed, turning sharper, or when Da Qing prodded at him to check in. For a time, he'd been hyper-aware of his body, of every nerve misfiring twitch, of every muscle that cramped and left him sweating and panting like a beaten dog, and desperately wishing he could move, stretch, anything to relieve the pain. Throughout it all, Xinwei hadn't been able to parse their words, only their tones. He'd ridden those emotional beats as though adrift in a storm-tossed sea, the sounds of those voices the only things keeping him afloat. That had all passed now. Now, Xinwei was colder now, having more difficulty feeling even the hand that was free, and thinking. Thinking was getting more difficult, too. That was bad. He was sure that was bad. A sign of some critical amount of blood he'd lost. He tried briefly to access one of his healing powers, to stimulate his bone marrow to release more red blood cells, but he didn't have the strength for it. And even if he had, there was so little to carry them that... He gasped. Hypovolemic shock. This was hypovolemic shock. Transfusions. IV fluids. Even getting his legs elevated up over his head so his heart wouldn't have to work so hard would help. And not one of those things was possible as long as he was trapped here. His organs were going to start shutting down soon. His heart would fail. His kidneys, too. His body would protect it for as long as it could, but eventually his brain would starve for lack of oxygen reaching it. He needed help. He needed help now. Qing. Xinwei swallowed hard, unable to lift the hand that held his potentially life-saving water. Unable to even feel anymore if he still held it, and tried again. Da Qing. It could have been minutes, or it could have been hours, before a scrabbling against the cement alerted Xinwei to Da Qing's return. Xinwei, what is it? What do you need? We're still digging, still waiting on Anbai, too. No time. Of course, there's no. Da Qing. No time. Xinwei forced himself to take a deeper breath, to waste these precious seconds, these precious kernels of energy on explaining. He was only going to get one chance at this, and if he failed, he was going to be beyond help anyway. The lantern. What? Zhao Yunlan's voice ricocheted inside the small space, kicking Sun Wei's heart into a faster rhythm than his blood could support right now. He took several more precious moments to calm himself down, keeping barely one ear turned toward the argument that Zhao Yunlan and Da Qing were currently having. No, Da Qing, no. The last time he used the hollows... Da Qing, you know what it took to get that light energy back out of him. You know we almost lost him. I won't take that chance. That last exclamation came through so loudly that the radio hissed out a burst of feedback and static along with it. You may not have a choice. You're not here. You can't see him. It's bad, Lao Zhao. But the lantern? Da Qing. Look, we've been racking our brains, and so has An Bai, trying to think of someone who has the right power to help when we've had someone with the right powers here this whole time. If this were anyone else trapped, Shen Wei would have had them free by now. The only reason he's still trapped is that he doesn't have the energy to do anything with the powers he has. So why don't we get him the energy and let him get on with it? Da Qing, is it really? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know one damn thing about anatomy apart from where you bite your prey to break its neck. Shen Wei does. And if he thinks that things are so bad that risking the hallows is the less dangerous option? Lao Zhao, I don't think we can afford to wait. Okay. Shen Wei, I'll talk to An Bai. I'll tell him what you need. Shen Wei had only the strength to say one more thing after that. Yunlan, hurry. An Bai came through. The lantern blazed across Shen Wei's senses, burning hot and hungry for fuel, reaching, grasping, needing. Go. Shen Wei pulled his mind free with a harsh gasp, panting like a winded horse as the lantern reached for him again. Gaga, where are you? I feel you. There were voices, other voices, yelling, screaming, yowling, hissing, but Shen Wei had barely enough strength to spare for dealing with the lantern. Gathering what little energy he had left, he cast his mind straight into the heart of that raging inferno, gripping tight to what little was left of the brother he'd once loved. And he screamed directly into that fractured soul for all he was worth, "Then help me!" The lantern's energy blazed forth, flooding Sun Wei's body until he was burning with it, burning so brightly that he couldn't block it out even with his eyes squeezed tightly shut. He grabbed that energy, screaming as he burned. It burned. They burned. Everything burned. And then he took that energy, shaped it around himself, and shifted. Bright lights and more screaming and air that didn't feel like rot going down and people talking and Da Qing purring and grooming at his hairline again and Zhao Yunlan cradling his broken body and he was bleeding and it was cold, so cold, and he could heal himself if he could just. But he couldn't. His core was burned beyond recognition and reaching for his powers. Any powers. It hurt. It hurt so badly. And he didn't want to leave Yunlan alone. Please don't make me leave him, please. I won't. This time, when the lantern's energy flowed through him, Shen Wei felt no pain. Only warmth. Only love.
Didi. Rest, Gogo. Let Didi take care of you for once. Just rest. And Shen Wei finally let go.
Lao Zhao, you're not listening. We tried to return it. We gave it back to An Bai. We watched him release it back into the sky, and then it was just gone. What do you mean, gone? I mean, gone. The place is still lit up, but the lantern is gone. Dead cat, I swear, if this is... Lao Zhao, after the week you've had, do you really think I would pull this kind of prank on you? A sigh. No, I don't, but fucking hell, how are we going to explain this without causing an inter-world incident? I don't know, but that definitely sounds like a you problem.
Sun Wei smiled. Some things really didn't ever change. He should be worried about the missing lantern. He should feel an urgent need to rise from his bed and begin looking. He should, at the very least, be checking himself over for damage, but he felt good. He felt whole, warm, and the lantern's energy was still a pleasant hum just beneath his skin, purring with contentment like the cat that had just crawled up onto the bed to tuck into his side. Another weight settled on Shen Wei's other side. Shen Wei, Xiao Wei, you're smiling. Are you dreaming of me? Shen Wei turned into the hand that was stroking through his hair, leaning into it when those nimble fingers slowed. Always. Zhao Yunlan laughed, that soft chuckle bubbling up out of him with tears at its heart, threatening to turn it into something altogether different. When Zhao Yunlan finally wrestled it under control, he said simply, "You scared me." Shen Wei sighed, turning his face into Zhao Yunlan's thigh. "I know. I'm sorry." An answering sigh came from Zhao Yunlan as he stretched out beside Shen Wei in the bed, tucking Shen Wei's head into the crook of his neck. "I know you are Xiao Wei. I know. And I know there's no point in asking that you do things differently next time, because I know you won't. Not when I'm in danger." Another soft sigh, and Zhao Yunlan began tracing idle patterns across Shen Wei's back. "We're outside of the closed loop now, into the unknown future. And if we no longer know what's coming, then there's no promise I can ask you to make that you can guarantee me you can keep, is there?" Shen Wei finally opened his eyes, pulled back just enough to see Zhao Yunlan's face. "No, there isn't." And because that didn't feel anywhere close to adequate, he added again, "I'm sorry, Yunlan." Zhao Yunlan's only answer was to pull Shen Wei close once more, and to trace more idle patterns onto his back, then up onto his neck and into his hair. It tickled, made Shen Wei twitch when Zhao Yunlan ghosted his fingers over certain spots. Finally, he reached back, caught at one of those wandering hands, and brought it around to place a gentle kiss on the palm. "What if..." "Hmm?" Shen Wei shifted, pushing himself up on one elbow to lean over Zhao Yunlan. "What if I made you a promise of a different kind?" Zhao Yunlan's eyebrows shot up, then narrowed together
finally settling into a one-up, one-down position of pure bemusement. What kind of promise?
Shen Wei leaned in and pressed a butterfly brush of a kiss against Zhao Yunlan's forehead. I admit, much of my time spent trapped in there is a blur. Calling it a blur was a kindness it didn't deserve. But there is one moment that stood out. One moment that I remember with great clarity. I believe your words were, "You would have married me on the spot?" Zhao Yunlan gasped. And I told you. Zhao Yunlan scrambled back up into a sitting position, pulling Shen Wei with him and then planting a hand firmly over his mouth to prevent him from saying anything else. I know what you told me. Just wait. Just wait 1 minute. Shit, where did I put it? And with that, Zhao Yunlan was off the bed and scrambling around underneath it, finally yelling for Da Qing's help when his initial search turned up nothing. Da Qing sighed and oozed out of Shen Wei's lap, where he'd taken up residence as soon as Shen Wei sat up. Kids these days, am I right, Shen Wei? Can't keep track of any of their stuff. With that, Da Qing hopped across to the window seat and pawed the blankets of his tire bed to unearth a small box. Zhao Yunlan let out a triumphant yell and grabbed it. Shen Wei's heart started to pound. Zhao Yunlan moved to sit back down on the bed, but shot almost instantly back up to point a finger in Shen Wei's face. I mean, you technically already said yes, so this is just a formality, right? No take-backs. Shen Wei reached up to pull Zhao Yunlan's face down for a quick kiss. Shen Wei smiled. I wouldn't dream of it. Okay, then. How do I mean, I should probably at least get down on one. Zhao Yunlan let out a low groan. I should have prepared something. I knew I should have prepared something. I bet I look like an idiot. Zhao Yunlan looked up from under the fringe of his bangs, eyebrows lifting into such a hopeful expression that Shen Wei felt a sudden surge of overwhelming fondness for this ridiculous, ridiculous man. He pulled Zhao Yunlan back down onto the bed to sit across from him. Yunlan, if you had asked, and if you had meant it, I would have married you that first day you met me. Furthermore, if you had asked, and you had meant it, I would have married you that first day I met you. How could I possibly say no, now that we finally met in the middle of the story, and lived beyond the end? Zhao Yunlan's eyes were suspiciously bright when he opened the box to reveal 2 plain gold bands. So, what you're saying is, you're willing to stick around and see how the sequel pans out? Shen Wei smiled as he lifted one of the gold bands out of the box and slipped it onto Zhao Yunlan's finger. As long as you're willing to stay and ride it with me. Zhao Yunlan lasted all of 5 seconds before dissolving into quiet laughter. When he finally calmed, he was wrung out and draped across Shen Wei's lap, utterly exhausted. But his smile was pure radiance. He reached up over his head to grab at Shen Wei's hand, slipping the second ring onto his finger with a flourish before pulling Shen Wei's face down for a thorough kiss. When they separated, Zhao Yunlan said, I really can't believe that either one of us is this incredibly corny. But a promise is a promise. He shook a finger up into Shen Wei's face. You remember that, Xiao Wei. It's a promise.
that you'll see the story through to the end with me. Sun Wei brushed a hand against Zhao Yunlan's cheek, then leaned down to kiss him one more time, and then one more time, and then once more. For as long as it takes, Yunlan, it's a promise. Zhao Yunlan smiled the goofiest smile in his repertoire at Sun Wei. I say we write a whole fucking chapter about kisses. No, 2 chapters about kisses. Hell, let's write 10. Is 10 enough? Maybe 20? Sun Wei just laughed and kissed him again. The end. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much to Irenicle for posting blanket permission and for writing this amazing fic. I am so glad that my screaming at you on Tumblr helped make this amazingness happen. I am delighted, absolutely delighted by this fic, and this is my first Guardian pod fic, so hope you enjoyed. If you enjoyed listening to this, I encourage you to go back to AO3, leave your feedback on the Irenicle's text and on my podfic version, and thank you so much for listening.